I have a number of things to talk about. And today I want to say thank you for joining us first, but you have joined the Sutlithian Report, the place where the news is never hidden and the truth always wins. So what is happening in America when the Department of Justice refuses to prosecute a man who was alleged to have killed hundreds based on the fact he is a governor? We're going to be talking about things like this. He gets a pass by the DOJ. That same DOJ refuses to prosecute or pursue two men from taking bribes to grant foreign influence. They are father and son. One of them is currently serving as president of the United States. But this is much more extensive than simply those in power. It is shocking thing to see approval of freedoms being taken with no justification or reason other than the belief it's okay to take the freedom of others. So why is this? Well, today we're going to talk about this before getting into the news. But first, we read a passage from the Bible as this is a Christian news show. Today, I'm reading Judges 3, verse 31. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goat, and he delivered Israel. God doesn't require anything special. He uses the most ordinary people. David as a shepherd was used to slay Goliath the giant. Moses was an older man with a speech impediment and a staff, but with God's mighty hand and direction, he led Israel out of Egypt. Shamgar, it seems, was just as ordinary. He used the implements of his trade, an ox goad, to fight for the Lord and Israel. One man against 600. Can you imagine what the Philistines must have thought about this? It probably was like, if one Israelite can take 600 of us, how many will we need to beat them back? Run! God uses us where we are at. Keep seeking him. Keep begging to be used by him. Live as an example and testimony of Jesus to others. God will use you. You may not see it. Sometimes how you are used is seen later in how your life influenced others. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, to be that good and sure example of your precious love. Lord God, please use us to help others seek your wonderful gift of grace. Lord, strengthen us that we may be able to stand on your word, even if we stand alone. Lord, you are our rock. You are our shelter in time of need. Lord, may we be the one you can use to share your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I want to reflect back on an interview given by Soviet defector Yuri Bezmenov in 1985. Well, you may ask, because Yuri told us about today, back in 1985. He warned us that communists have been working to change America from within in the 1980s. Oh, wait. He talked about this in the 80s. Wait till you hear how far back this goes. And then I want to tell you, he's only talking about the communists. What I have is information that tells me that the people who follow Islam, particularly the Muslim Brotherhood, has been working on this plan since the same time period, just about. We're talking about their big implementation time was in the 60s. And their biggest push, and I want you to think about that, in the 1960s. Now, the time that we have, we're going to be mentioning names today, so pay attention. This is going to be a mind blower, but I'm going to start with talking about, again, with a video from this gentleman. I'm going to get to it in just a second. Sorry about this. This is the joy of setting things up and just getting there. I have it all set up just to make it easier, and sometimes you have to get to that initial spot first. Okay, so I want to play this video for you. So just a second, and here we go.
Well, you spoke several times before about ideological subversion. That is a phrase that I'm afraid some Americans don't fully understand. When the Soviets use the phrase ideological subversion, what do they mean?
Ideological subversion is the process which is legitimate, overt, and open. You can see it with your own eyes. All you have to do, all American mass media has to do, is to unplug their bananas from their ears, open up their eyes, and they can see. There's no mystery. There's nothing to do with espionage. I know that espionage intelligence gathering looks more romantic. It sells more deodorants. through the advertising, probably. That's why your Hollywood producers are so crazy about James Bond type of thrillers. But in reality, the main emphasis of the KGB is not in the area of its intelligence at all. According to my opinion and opinion of many detectives of my caliber, only about 15% of time, money, and manpower is spent on espionage as such. The other 85% is a slow process, which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interest of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow and is divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students.
I'm just learning that Black Talk Radio has disabled my audio for quite some time. So apologize to you. Now it's getting an echo effect. Weird. We're not working. This is really hard. Test. Some things are just frustrating. Okay, I will continue and try to keep sharing the truth. So let's keep going. I don't know what's happened with VTR. We were fine. I don't know what stopped us. And I wish I could get that to work. The joy of frustration of insanity. So the reason why I play Ben Shapiro's piece here, I'm going to have to lower how I'm hearing things. Okay. So let's go back. Ben Shapiro talked about the insanity. So what do I think we need to do? We need to start showing up at no mandate protests. Is there one in your area? Show up. Be there. Carry a sign. Let people know that what they are getting when they're talking about a vaccine mandate, again, it's gene therapy, people. Do not let them tell you it is a vaccine. When they ask if you're vaccinated, say, I'm against gene therapy, aren't you? Their reactions. I find that fascinating. When I say I'm against gene therapy, I've seen people look really ashamed and say, I'm vaccinated. Okay, so you chose to get gene therapy. No, they, you know, if you ask them that question, they will say no. They chose to get a vaccination. But did you know it wasn't a vaccination? Did anybody tell you? No. Misinformation, propaganda. The people who are getting these vaccinations not receiving informed consent. They're not being told things like you know, the drugs they advertise on TV. They give you all these side effects that are possible. But do the people who are getting vaccinated know these things? No. Extremely sad, scary. Some of these things just make you want to cry because it's a sad, sorry truth. I sorry that the people on BTR have not gotten the majority of what I've shared. I will go back and change the audio later. I'm amazed that things happened that way. So let me keep going. Sorry about the disruption here. I have quite the plan to go through, and it's disrupted by this insanity. All right. I want to talk about a couple more things here that have happened in the United States. I only have a few more. I want to talk about what Congresswoman Mace did. She interviewed Representative Johnson, and she got some fascinating answers on the House floor, of all places, in the kingdom of Nancy. Queen Nancy, the woman who thinks she rules the roost. Wait till I share this video with you. It should be shocking to you. I know it shocked me because we're hearing truth coming straight from the House floor. And this destroys every argument you will ever hear that promotes being upset with Republicans for asking for one thing. You know what that one thing is? Simply the truth. Okay, so I'm just going to have to mute my BTR, sorry, and I'll have to add things later. Okay, so here we go. Pelosi on science.
Having the first of the war on it is so wrong. I said earlier, science, and almost every subject
wrong piece here. Apologize. Let me just remove that. All right. The joy of getting a little distracted. All right. Here we go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to say Congress for your support in Congress. I represent the congressional district of South Carolina. South Carolina has had its own very bad history with last option dropping down in Austin. I recently took a vote in statutes like the Supreme Court of Texas and even his bus that had happened in the country. So Judge Scott said the black and brown African could not be covered. I voted to move when I paid him to invert murderers over 150 black South Carolinians from the governor. And so I appreciate your comments about the efficiency. I did not around then, but I've watched it a lot of history and seen the videos and all the violence and black. So I applaud your work on that. I understand that you were elected in 72 and probably got that. Right. I applaud you for being a strong support for the black women and black women. One of the South Carolina we got is that voter ID. And I'm going to try the same way. Don't ID to buy alcohol. Even I can just have to buy cigarettes. Yes, it's still an ID. You need an ID for getting a job and trying to get on the table. You need an ID to go to the company and get a prescription. You need an ID to get Social Security services. You need an ID to rent an apartment. You need an ID to go buy a house and finance it via a mortgage. You need an ID in Texas to get an award for your science and fraud commercial. Yes. Do
Okay, now we're back. So all these problems with BTR, I got to figure out what I can do to improve things. All right, so I want you to think about this. She talked about the problem isn't minority voters in respect. The problem isn't that they use IDs. The purpose here is to get people, to lie. She wanted that. She got the person who was telling and saying that minority voters couldn't vote because they didn't have IDs, and she just proved them wrong. Can minority people get prescriptions? Yes. Why? Because they have ID. Can minority people get alcohol? Absolutely, because they have ID. And so it just kept going and going, and she did pretty well with that. Now I'm curious if you have heard what's going on with the illustrious, incestuous adulterer. I can say that she's now not committing adultery, but she's the well-known one for this. We're talking about Congressional Representative Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar is now calling for a special envoy to combat Islamophobia. Robert Spencer's article in PJ Media is really important on this topic. He writes, the sage and visionary Representative Ilhan Omar, Democrat of Mogadishu, looked out at our unhappy land and saw just what we need to usher in a new era of healing, peace, and prosperity. And so she has made yet another modest proposal for the correction and improvement improvement of the land that gave her a refuge and that she so clearly loves. The Blaze reported Tuesday that Omar, along with many of her most prominent Democrat Party henchmen, are urging Secretary of State Anthony Blinken to establish a special envoy to combat Islamophobia, because clearly Islamophobia is the key problem Americans faces today, right? joining Omar in this ridiculous endeavor are Representatives John Schakowsky of Illinois and 23 other Democrats, including Representative Karen Bass of California, Jim McGovern of Massachusetts, Rashid Tlaib of Ramallah, the inaptly named Adam Smith of Washington, Sarah Jacobs of California, Debbie Dingell of Michigan, Judy Chu of California, and Steve Cohen of Tennessee. They wrote to Blinken, as part of our commitment to international religious freedom and human rights, we must recognize Islamophobia as a pattern that is repeating in nearly every corner of the globe. It is a part for the United States, it's part past time for the United States to stand firmly in favor of religious freedom for all and to give the global problem of Islamophobia the attention and prioritization it deserves. Yes, it's a global problem, and indeed the only examples of it could come up with are from outside the United States, in addition to state-sponsored policies in Islamophobia. They wrote, we have seen a disturbing rise in incidents of Islamophobia violence committed by individuals connected to larger transnational white supremacist networks, including but by no means to the mosque shooting in Christchurch, New Zealand. How long ago was that? Let's think about that. Oh, that's 2019. Okay, and they can't think of anything more recent. Oh, it's something plaguing the world, but you have to reference something 2 years ago? Oh, wow. So it's not that big of an issue if you have to reference something 2 years ago. Let's keep going to the news now outside the country. We're going to go across the pond to the UK. And we're going to talk about the French warships watching over the massive fissure. Oh, sorry, just a second. Got to get this thing open. Here we go. Let me see if I can control what's happening here. All right, does that help? Nope, it doesn't. Okay. So French warships are now watching over part of the massive hijra from France to the UK of illegal migrants from Muslim lands. Robert Spencer and others see this as an act of war. It's not hard to see this and how it creates economic division. All right. I want you to think about this. French warships. So, again, I keep talking about this massive hijra. I've been talking about this for a few years. My question is, why isn't Europe waking up? Why aren't they saying no? Could it be that they have already gone through the stages that Yuri talks about? Oh, think about that. If Yuri's right, then they are farther along than we are towards communism. Think about this. And you can't put facts in front of people. They deny them. That's what Yuri was saying. If he's right, this, again, he referred to it as brainwashing. And again, it started in colleges and it moved to the schools. And now they have educated many generations of people towards this. And they can't see facts. So this article comes from Jack Wright and the Daily Mail. Incredible pictures show packed migrant boats dwarfed by a cross-channel ferry as dozens of more refugees arrive on UK shores and Britain's becoming a laughingstock to the rest of Europe. And one of the sub-bullets here is French warships escorting migrant boats into British waters before dumping them on border force. Now, that's an act of war. It takes somebody really stupid not to understand that's an act of war. But Britain's doing nothing. They're not refusing them. They're not stopping them from coming. I mean, they could have put them all back on France. Again, where did they come from? They came from France. Think about this. I'm just going to read this. Again, this is by Jack Wright. A tiny inflatable dinghy active migrants was seen arriving in British waters today as a legal cross-channel ferry waited in the background. It came as a baby was seen among people being brought in onto land by officials and journeying across seas. French warships escorted the blow-up vessels here before dumping them on border for authorities in France being paid $54 million to stop illegal channel crossings from the coast as stretched officials in Dover struggled to contain in spiraling fiasco. Ships tracking website Marine Traffic appears to show a number of Border Force vessels approaching French waters so they can escort the small boats over to Dover Marina in Kent, where migrants, including small children, were seen disembarking as early as 9 a.m. today. Tony Smith, former Director General of Border Force, said that France is more than happy to pocket $54 million to patrol its own coast, but it is unwilling to actually intercept illegal channel crossings because its own public will not accept high levels of illegal migrants at home. Pierre-Henri Dumont, the MP for Calais, confirmed that ships will not intercept the boats, but will instead let them sail into British territorial waters because it's apparently their job to prevent passage under maritime, and said they would only be approached if they asked for help. Hotels in Britain are being booked to the up to house illegal migrants. Meanwhile, the UK citizens look to get married or take holidays currently. They could struggle to secure spaces. One bride and groom, Claire Chapman, 42, and Anthony Osborne, 41, even found their wedding reception in Kingston Lodge Hotel in southwest London was canceled so the venue could put up migrants. And yet another blow to Home Secretary Petri Patel, whose ridiculous multi-million pound deal with France has sparked a Tory backlash. Furious MPs, members of Parliament, sitting on their common home committee yesterday told her to get tough with French authorities fobbing her off with excuses. Mr. Smith told the Telegraph last night the French are more than happy to take money to invest in border security in their own territory, but taking action in the actual channel seems to be a step too far for them. Politically stopping people in the channel and returning them to France might be a hard issue for them to sell the French public. If you're French, you want, hey, go ahead and leave. Well, why don't they just prevent them from coming in? Instead of encouraging people to, I mean, you could do both. You could say, you can't leave here once we accept you you can't just go to another country where you're going illegally. It doesn't work that way. So you start kicking out those people. You send them back to their homes. B-52 and drop off a couple hundred of them. Why is this not being done? Why don't they start protecting their own? I can't understand that. I wish I could. Let's keep going. A Muslim woman threatened to stab an Algerian Muslim man who called her a whore for how she dressed and against her being a Muslim woman and not dressing appropriately. She used racist terms. The entire exchange was caught on film and has gone viral. No commentary is made on whether the Algerian was legally in the country. No commentary is given on what is required of Muslim women in respect to dress or unequal rights. The Muslim woman is a social media pariah and was called out for claiming to be Muslim while having little to no knowledge of Islam by the Algerian because she was not practicing what she claimed to believe. The media won't address those things, but I will. Okay. The truth is, if this woman was in an Islamic country and she dressed as she would be called a whore. Would she be allowed to dress like that by her parents? Absolutely not. Would she be allowed to dress like that in an Islamic community? Absolutely not. What would they do to her? Well, what do they do to people they consider adulterers? They kill them. That's generally what happens, unless you're in what some people would call a moderate country, and they beat them. What I mean by beating, they'll use a cane and beat you within an inch of your life. This is happening in Singapore. This woman uses this N-word repeatedly, and she says, it's not a racist term. I'm sorry, you're so ignorant. You don't understand something called the delineation of language. And here we would be laughing at her because the KKK is the one who enjoys seeing that term used by people who are black. They think it's funny because it's okay. Let's go to France. And I'm going to read an article that talks about Brigitte Bardot, a lover of animals, who in France spoke out against cruelty to animals in the celebration of Eid al-Kabir, where a sheep or goat is slaughtered and has had her life threatened by the followers of Islam. Oh, this came out last week on the 21st, and I missed it last week. A fierce opponent of the ritual sacrifice of Eid al-Kabir, Brigitte Bardot, said on Friday, July 16th, that she and her Animal Welfare Foundation have received Islamic threats. "I will never submit to any threat," warned the actress. In a statement from the foundation, Brigitte Bardot denounces the bloody ritual and abject that constitutes the sacrifice of a sheep slaughtered on the day of Eid al-Kabir, a practice according to her, imposed by Muslims on France, which refuses it but submits. Did you catch that? Submits. What does Islam mean? Submission. So are they creating Islamization over there? Absolutely. What do they call Islamization here in the States? Civilization jihad. This woman's being threatened for saying what is common sense. She's one of the few that's awake. How is this still going on? How is it allowed? Well, if we look at what Yuri says, it's because when you tell people the truth, they won't even know it after this after the conditioning. Think about that. All right, it's trying to open this next one from RARE Foundation. Now, RARE Foundation is one of those rare organizations that get the truth out. You can go to 3speak.online and see their work, or you can go to RARE Foundation, RAIRFoundation.com. Now, their work is outstanding. I recommend them highly. This article comes from Amy Mack, Terrorism Threat. Al-Qaeda threatens France. Police warn public to be vigilant. You'll see a video here, which I will not play. On July 15, 2021, Islamic terror group Al-Qaeda released a 40-minute video threatening France and repeatedly targeting President Emmanuel Macron and Interior Minister Gerald Darmanin by name. The video is Al-Qaeda's response to Macron's perceived insults to Islam, such as his support of Charlie Hebdo's freedom of speech to release cartoons that mock Islam's founder, Muhammad. The threat had prompted a call for vigilance this summer ahead of a trial linked to the gruesome November 2015 Islamic attacks across Paris, which claimed 130 lives and 416 people. 20 people are set to stand trial, accused of being linked to the Islamic attack at the Bataclan Theater, bars and restaurants in central Paris and Stade de France. The Interior Ministry specifically instructed police to maintain vigilance at a high level throughout the summer, and particularly as the September trial approaches. Following the posting of the threats of Al-Shabaab, the official media wing of Al-Qaeda's leadership that is based in Pakistan and Afghanistan. However, while French police call for citizens to be vigilant, Macron's open border policies have remained unchanged despite the terrorist threats. So he wants terrorist threats. This is some of the insanity I keep saying, where Europeans do not protect their own. Well, you know, this is what's happening here. Joe Biden is made the claim that we need to be cautious, we need to be scared, all these things he's talking about, we need to be fearful of. Why? Why are they fearful? These are important things to ask. What are they fearful of? Well, if Joe Biden's claiming that coronavirus is making a comeback, why is he currently putting illegal aliens on planes and flying them into the country in various undisclosed locations? Undisclosed. That's what the military said. Really happening. Why are they not telling us locations? And again, this is from the military who made this response. I read the article last week about this. These things are shocking. Now, Todd Benzman has actually reported on how NGOs are actually doing this. All they do is show up. If you're an illegal alien, you show up, and one of these non-government organizations will just take you wherever you want to go. Scary. Are these people checked for COVID-19? And the answer is no. Supposedly, the test that they gave this week, the CDC said they're currently developing a test which differentiates between the flu and COVID-19.
Oh!
So what you're saying is a lot of those people who were diagnosed with COVID-19 actually had the flu. Oh, think about that. So if people had a fever and they went and were tested and they had the flu and there was something that they didn't have, like they didn't have a loss of taste, then they had all the symptoms of the flu and they got diagnosed with COVID-19. What I have been saying since the beginning, and the CDC just came out and admitted it, that's shocking. All right. This next article I have comes from Pakistan. Pakistan Muslim man forces Hindu boy to chant Allahu Akbar and to abuse his Hindu deities. I want to talk about this because this has historically happened for centuries. It's not something new. I'm sorry. This article comes from Op India, Pakistan. Muslim man, excuse me, let me just grab a quick drink. Muslim man forces Hindu boy to chant Allahu Akbar and abuse Hindu gods. As per his Facebook profile, Dawood currently lives in Hyderabad in Sindh province of Pakistan. He's employed with the Thar Coal Projects. In a disturbing video that has now surfaced on social media, a Pakistani Muslim man was seen threatening and forcing a Hindu boy to chant Allahu Akbar. The victim was also coerced into abusing Hindu gods and goddesses. The video was uploaded on social media by a popular Facebook user named Keish Hirani. The accused Abdul Salam Abu Dawood was seen grabbing the victim by the collar and ordering him to chant Allahu Akbar. When the boy complied, the accused asked him to utter expletives directed at Hindu gods. Abuse your deities in the name of mother and sister. Say your god is a sister, and a profanity. You guys have polluted the entire Pakistan, Dawood was heard as saying. Abdul Salam Abu Dawood, a native of Rahim Yar Khan in Pakistan, has uploaded the video on his YouTube channel with a caption, Hindu torture by Muslim in Pakistan, following public outrage. He was quick to delete the video. Dawood was also seen threatening Hindus with genocide and complete annihilation. In a video posted in April this year, he warned, if we start killing Hindus in Pakistan, it would only take 30 minutes. We will kill Hindu men and take Hindu women. We will procreate from these women and make them mujahid, fighters, Islamic terrorists. Don't mess with us. We have a lot of people, Muslims, in India that would not take time to kill you, the Hindus. The particular video has now been deleted from YouTube. In his YouTube comment section, Dawood was seen using despicable language for Lord Ram and Goddess Sita. He has compared his Hindu deities to homosexuals, pimps, and rape victims. Is this unusual? No. Is it surprising? No. Is it historically accurate? Has it happened for centuries? Yes. Some of these things are hard to accept. Why are they hard to accept? Because the reality is not always what we want. Now, I did say I would talk about Israel again. This next one comes from Jerusalem Post. Palestinians accuse Hamas of storing weapons in residential areas. Okay, and this was written by Khaled Abu Toma, July 24th it came out, for the Jerusalem Post. Okay. The Palestinian faction and human rights organizations have called on Hamas and other Palestinian terror groups to stop storing weapons in residential areas following another explosion which killed one person and injured 14 others on Thursday. They also demanded thorough investigation into the explosion in order to hold those responsible accountable. Is it going to happen? Absolutely not. Palestinians in the Gaza Strip said that the explosion took place in a warehouse used by Hamas for storing weapons. Hamas said it has launched an investigation but has not provided any details. The explosion occurred shortly after 8 a.m. in a house located in the Al-Zawa market area in the center of Gaza City. Palestinian sources said that 69-year-old Ada Ahmed Sakala died and 14 civilians were injured, including 6 children. 6 children died at a warehouse for weapons. Did it kill kids in the area or were they at the warehouse? Some of these things are not shared. Medical sources at Shifa Hospital described the wounds of one of them as critical. According to Palestinian Al-Mazen Center for Human Rights, the 3-story house was partially destroyed, while neighboring houses and shops were partially damaged, the center said in a statement. According to eyewitnesses, a fire has broken out in the house before the explosion. Al-Mazen Center for Human Rights in Gaza viewed the explosion incident was grave seriousness, as there had been repeated incidents of internal explosions in houses overcrowded residential neighborhoods for various reasons in the past, which resulted in the killing of a number of civilians and the destruction of homes and public and private properties, the statement read. According to Al-Mazen, reiterates its call for comprehensive and serious investigation into this incident and other similar events, to publish the results of the investigation publicly, and to take the necessary measures to ensure that it does not recur in order to preserve the lives and property of citizens. Palestinian NGO network, an umbrella organization comprising 133 member organizations, also called for serious, transparent investigation into the explosion. The network stresses the need to expedite the provision of all forms of assistance and support to those affected, the group said. It also stresses the need to announce the results of investigation and to take serious measures to prevent such explosions from happening again. Palestinian writer Fadal Al-Manas said it was clear that Hamas chooses popular markets as a safe place for its ammunition warehouses because it knows that Israel does not target such places. He said that Hamas was confused by the explosion because one of its weapon warehouses had been discovered. He also pointed out that a similar explosion took place in an open market in a refugee camp last year, killing more than 10 Palestinians and injuring dozens others. Think about these things, people. The Palestinians are upset if they call them the Palestinians. I think that's always a funny name, but that is the reality. Thank you for joining. I don't know who's listening in. I'm guessing this is my good friend. And I'm just going to leave that alone for now. Holy cow. This is, I've had so much fun with BTR screwing up tonight. I lost the majority of my program, unfortunately. But I am doing the video cast, and I don't know why it dropped off of BTR, because it started perfectly. And all of a sudden, besides, it's not going to work. The joy of BTR. So I think it's working now, since I still have people listening. This is crazy. All right. So let's talk about Somalia and FGM. Somalia is one of the largest countries initiating FGM and approving of FGM. There are many organizations that will work with Somali women trying to get them to do this. However, it's still considered culturally acceptable, culturally normal, and is approved by Islam as a whole. So they cannot outlaw FGM because Sharia rules the land. So let's talk about this. It says the death, this comes from The Guardian, death of a 13-year-old girl sparked calls for action on FGM on Somalia. The death will not be able to do anything because they're not allowed to even review the acceptance or the or problems against FGM. Can't do that because that would violate Sharia. Now, the person who wrote the article seems to be ignorant of this, and that would explain, you know, because it's sponsored by Bill and Melinda Gates, you know, who have written, have not written this. They've sponsored the article. Hassan Abdurrahman and Lizzie Daves. Now, let me just read this, and again, I want you to think about that, knowing this. Now, listen to their perspective. A 13-year-old girl has died after undergoing FGM, female genital mutilation, in Somalia. As activists report a rise in the practice during the pandemic, Fatun Hassan Ahmed, the daughter of a nomadic pastoralist, bled to death after being cut early this month in the village of Jirneel in the state of Gamudug, her mother said. Activists believe it is the first reported case of an FGM fatality in Somalia, 10-year-old Dika Dahir Noor in 2018, with one of the highest rates of cutting in the world. The East African country has no national law against the practice. We looked for a car to take her to the hospital, but could not reach us in time. We didn't know what to do. Later we found a car, but she was already dead when it arrived. She has stayed with her daughter. She bled from the early this mother stayed with her daughter as she bled from the early morning when she was cut until she died at about 4 p.m. Fartoon suffered FGM in the hands of a traditional cutter who also works with a local birth attendant who cut Fartoon's 9-year-old sister before her, and the Guardian was told. Her father, Hassan Ahmed, a goat herder who was blind, said his daughter had been a hard worker and had helped to guide him. She used to do everything for me. She helped and cooked me and took care of the animals when I was resting, he said. We reached the decision because we wanted the girl to be circumcised. When the mother suggested the cutting, he didn't object. Parents said they regretted their decision. Now, did you catch who recommended this? The mother. They don't believe that a girl can be marriageable unless she has undergone FGM. These things sound abhorrent. That is what they believe. Is it supported by Islam? Pretty much. It's scary, it's abhorrent, and there's nothing that can be done to stop the practice as long as they endorse FGM, as long as they endorse Sharia. Let's keep going. Nigeria. Let's go there. And my next article on FGM. Sorry, not on FGM. Sorry. Nigeria school kidnappers abduct man delivering ransom. This is from the BBC News by Ishaq Khalid. Came out 4 days ago. The elderly kidnappers in Nigeria have seized a man who was sent to deliver a ransom payment secure the release of dozens of abducted school children. The elderly man was sent by the children's parents after they managed to raise 30 naira, $73,000, by selling land and other possessions, but they have been left feeling hopeless following his kidnapping. The north of the country is in the midst of a wave of school abductions carried out by criminals for profit. Not entirely true. The criminals are jihadis. Why did they not tell that? Oh, it's the BBC. You got to protect the jihadis. Scary. Things are just problematic. And I have another article, which I'm just going to mention, and I'm going to cut the show after this. Australia gave a man a light sentence for sex crimes against 4 women. He's not even serving time. The article is too detailed for me to read out loud. This man's criminal actions would, at bare minimum, put him on a sex offenders watch list here in the United States. This man is not even being put on that. He does not serve any time. He's not getting a home detention. I want you to think about that. Four women were subjected to this man's crimes. And it's okay. Why? It's okay because he is protected because he's Muslim? That's a question that's actually out there. So what would happen if a white guy or a black guy or a Hispanic guy or anybody else did this in Australia? If a Christian, a guy who professed to have a different faith than Islam did this, would they be given a free pass? These are questions that are out there that need to be answered. I wish I could give you answers. Unfortunately, I'm not able to give them. Well, I want to say thank you for listening. And I'm going to say goodbye. And you all have a great day. And thank you for listening. God bless y'all.